Well, hello everyone. We're back with another podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks so much for listening and continuing with us at the start of a new year. I'm Rick Hill and I'm your host for this episode of the podcast. And we're back today with another conversation about life and witness in our church. This time we have a minister, a deaconess and a youth worker, all from different parts of the island, all with very different roles and insights as well. So a big welcome to the Reverend Ben Walker, Joanne Dunlop and Andy Lamberton. Thanks for joining us today. And for this conversation, I want to hear how they are each seeking to deal with our current set of circumstances, both in their own lives as followers of Jesus and also in their areas of ministry too. So Joanne, you're a deaconess. Could you maybe just begin by telling us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and something about your role too?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm the deaconess of the three, and I currently live in a wee place called Dundrod, which isn't too far from where I grew up, which was Lonaines. And I am married to Rob, and I have three young children. God really led me into hospital chaplaincy over 10 years ago. I very much felt and put that call in my heart as I worked as an occupational therapist at the time. And he led me into that through then the work of the deaconess ministry with PCI. So I now have been working between two hospitals, Antrim area and Craigavon, over the last 8 years or so. That's what I've been doing alongside looking after our three children. So that's where I'm at the moment. I do it on a part-time basis, 3 days originally, although with current situation at the moment, I'm just doing 2 days in Antrim Hospital at the moment.
And it's challenging times to be in a hospital work, so we'd love to hear maybe some of that as we go through the conversation. Little known fact as well, Joanne, I used to play football for Dundrod Old Boys, so... there you go. I'm sure I'm well known around those parts.
For good reason, so bad, Rick.
Ben, we heard a little bit of you there. Why don't you do the same and just introduce yourself to us?
Thanks, Rick. So I'm Ben Walker. I'm the minister of Saintville Road Presbyterian. I've been here just for about just over a year, about 15 months. So September 2019. And as you can tell, originally I'm from England, but I'm married really well to a girl from Belfast. And so Ruth and I have been married about 20 years next month, and I've lived here for 18 years. I've got three kids who are 14, 12 and 10, and we're really excited about homeschooling for the next few weeks. And we're just getting into that today and the coming days. I trained at Union. I was in Ballygilbert for 3 years as an assistant between Belfast and Bangor. And then I was at Knock for 6 years. And then for 3 or 4 years, I was doing some postgraduate study, working on a doctorate, which just still has to be finished. Apart from that, really enjoying being at Saintville Road, getting to know people here as best as is possible in these circumstances. But it's just a fantastic place to be, so enjoying it.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ben. And Andy, over to you and Donegal there. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I'm just waiting tonight. I'm going to find out if I'm homeschooling the kids for the next while. There's four of them. And I've got one wife and one mortgage. So that's me kind of. I work with an organization called Exodus, and I'm a member of Fawn Presbyterian, a small, brilliant church.
Whereabouts is Fawn, Andy? Just for those who might not know that.
You're very much not in the north, but you're as close to Derry as you could get, while still remaining in the Republic.
And your role with Exodus, just tell us a bit about that very briefly.
I lead the work in the northwest of Ireland, so Derry, Donegal, Sligo, and helping churches disciple young people, helping young people follow Jesus.
Brilliant. And that's something you're really passionate about, obviously, as well. Now, before we get to the heart of this conversation today, I want to share a short extract from an essay. It was actually written in 1987, called Welcome to Holland, and I came across it recently and found it incredibly relevant to the situation that we're in. So this conversation we want to have today is about living with the circumstances and the challenges that we have as followers of Jesus right now. So I thought I'd read this, and then I'm going to invite each of you to share some of the challenges that you see right now when it comes to living where we are. So this is Welcome to Holland. It's written by Emily Kingsley to attempt to describe her experience of raising a child with a disability. And hopefully, that might sound strange, but hopefully its relevance will become clear. She writes this: when you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and make your wonderful plans. The Colosseum, the Michelangelo David, the gondolas in Venice. You learn some handy phrases in Italian. It's all very exciting. After months of eager anticipation, the day finally arrives. You pack your bag and off you go. Several hours later, the plane lands. The stewardess comes and says, "Welcome to Holland." "Holland, you say? What do you mean, Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life I've dreamed of going to Italy." "But there's been a change in the flight plan. They've landed in Holland and there you must stay. They haven't taken you to a horrible, disgusting, filthy place. It's just a different place. But you must go out and buy a new guidebook and learn a whole new language. And you meet a whole new group of people that you would never have met. It's just a different place. It's slower paced than Italy, less flashy than Italy. But after you've been there for a while and you catch your breath, you look around and you begin to notice that Holland has windmills, tulips and Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy coming and going from Italy, and they're all bragging about what a wonderful time they had there. And for the rest of your life, you will say, 'Yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned.' The pain of that will never go away because the loss of that dream is significant. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the very special, lovely things about Holland." I don't know about you, but I find that incredibly relevant to the situation that we're in as we continue to live and do ministry in a world that's probably still quite new and unfamiliar to us. So Ben, maybe for you, as we start, as you think, as we think about this new place that we find ourselves in, maybe the Holland that we're in, what are some of the challenges that you see maybe within your life or your church or wider community right now?
Thanks, Rick. I enjoyed that. That's quite insightful, isn't it? About hoping to be at one place and finding yourself in another. I suppose I was just kind of reflecting on, you know, beginning Saintville Road a year and a half ago and thinking, you know, no idea that it would look like this just sort of a year, 15 months on. And people have had even tighter experiences of that, I guess, than me. But even thinking, you go into a place and you think, this is what it's going to be like and it's going to be exciting. And it is, and it has been, but just in a really different way. So I guess one of the real challenges that comes out of that is simply the challenge to our expectations, isn't it? And that's one of the really hard things we have to grapple with, is that expectations of how things are going to be. And still we're seeing that on the news at the moment, as people are talking about schools and exams and people's expectations of what they thought life would look like, what they hoped life would look like, what they envisaged, because this is how it's looked for a while. This is what we've known as normal. It's just suddenly really challenged and changed. So I think probably that's one of the big challenges I see, dealing with expectations and how we deal with that as Christians, when we have our own human expectations about things, but we're also saying we have this hope. Somebody wrote a beautiful poem from Saintville Road for the end of the year, talking about looking to the one who sits on the throne. But there's a lot of grappling to be done in that. There's a lot of discipleship in that, isn't it, when we hold our expectations and what it means to look to the one who sits on the throne. One of the things I suppose I've seen is, in that challenge to normality or routine, it really has been a challenge to what we, our routines of what we thought life was like or how we did life. And some of that has been good and helpful. And I think there's probably a lot to be taken out, a lot of good questions to ask ourselves about what we've missed and what we should no longer do and what the future holds. But some of the blurring, I suppose I've seen one particular challenge between the blurring of life, of boundaries, of home and work and that sort of thing. So I come across quite a lot of people who really, in their working lives, are now working from home. And sure, in ministry we do that quite a bit, and so we're kind of used to that. But we have things set in place for that. But here are people who are working from home, no longer traveling to or from work and having that time to process, no longer meeting other people, but on a screen all the time, in the same room, in the same house. And those sorts of things, which will be a real challenge, I think a longer term one as well, because no doubt lots of companies will think, actually, we can do this more. We don't need to provide places for people to work. That's one of the things I'm particularly noticing at the moment. That's a real challenge to the blurring of areas of life, such that you or I and many of us kind of then start to look at our emails at night and check out different things at different times. And we never quite do anything properly. We never quite work properly. We never quite rest properly. We never quite spend time with our families properly, because we're always doing all these things all in the same place at the same time. And I think trying to recapture some of that routine or figure out what that looks like in Holland when we used to know or think what it would be like in Italy is going to be a real challenge.
Thanks, Ben. Joanne, I'm sure you're coming across lots of different challenges as you work and minister in hospitals.
Yeah, I think clearly in hospitals and in community, one of the biggest things at the moment is that not getting to see loved ones, whether it's, you know, in their homes or in the hospitals, not only for the people who are in the hospital, but for family members, and particularly if someone is very unwell. And not being able to have that contact. So certainly there's just a very real difficulty there, and the very real hurt and pain for people not being able to have those personal connections with loved ones at this time. So we see that so much in hospitals, and I know those on the wards are trying to do as much as they can in terms of technology to try and help to bridge that gap. It's certainly a big thing, as you can imagine, for families and then those in the community, for those that are on their own. And I'm sure we all know those people in situations, you know, and just perhaps not getting that contact that they would be, you know, we all need. And when we're in families, you know, we still have that on a daily basis. But when you're at home on your own, that's a different story, and you don't get that same contact in the same way. So just, so much of the heart and emotion is certainly being challenged for people at every level, both physically and mentally, I guess.
Yeah. Let me come back to you in a moment to find out about facing some of those challenges, Andy, just to bring you in a very different kind of culture with young people, perhaps. I mean, what are the challenges that you're seeing?
Well, with young people and working with young people, I think there's the challenge of a stuttering ministry, where you go and stop, and young people can move quite quickly if you say we're going to meet up for a walk this week, or we're going to here now we're in the hall, and then we're and. There's a sense of, and I think youth workers are struggling with that kind of stutter that goes on. Of course, the other challenge, I suppose, for folks who are being cautious, it's wise to be cautious, is maybe a stagnating ministry with young people, where we say, we'll concentrate on a couple of core things. And young people feel that quite heavily, more heavily than they articulate. And I think because, particularly with younger people, because there's less of awareness of the why, they can feel that within their own heart, and the loneliness can be quite real, or the loneliness for faith with young people without Christian parents. There's a real sense of, I've no one to talk to about my faith.
So we've started maybe in a negative place, but we've started by just naming some of the challenges, the realities that we see at this particular time. And obviously we're in a moment where, certainly at the time of recording, there's lots of conversation about restrictions and maybe added restrictions that are coming in at the start of this new year. How are you each seeking to face some of these challenges, perhaps the challenges that you're facing as followers of Jesus yourself in your everyday life, but also in some of your ministry too? So Andy, just do you want to add in some comments there about how you're seeking to face some of those challenges?
Well, maybe one of the biggest overriding challenges is the ability to connect. And so for facing that challenge, I think we have to, you know, we're creatures of habit, and we have to build in a rhythm of connecting. A lot of connection happens in the in-between times. I think, Ben, you were talking about that. In between work and home, or in between leaving your kids off at BB and bringing them back home, and you talk to them about what happened at BB, and maybe the parent says something like, oh, I remember learning that as well. Or whatever it might have been. And a lot of the magic, if you like, a lot of the discipleship happens in those in-between times. It's the comment straight after church that really makes the difference. It really drives the sermon to the heart. You know, it was in the head before, and then somebody says something to you on the way out the door, and it just, you know, it makes it real. So I think trying to face that challenge of not being able to connect, for me anyway, building a rhythm of connection, and I go for a walk each day when I'm working from home, and I'm not doing that walk unless I'm on the phone. That's my own wee rhythm of connection. And even if I don't have someone to phone, I just start going through my phone and thinking, who could I call? So there's probably, I'm sure everyone can think of something that they do every day or that they could do every day. And if they could build connection with people into that, that could really help.
Andy, it's what you say there about those kind of, those little conversations, those little connections. I have to say that's the thing I think I've missed the most in ministry, or realised was one of the most important but overlooked things, in that I think we named from early on, we were sitting in a kind of staff meeting with Johnny and Jill, who I work with, and we were just expressing this thing that it's those little conversations that you have with people after church, those little things where you say, how are you doing? Oh, I was just hearing about your mum, or just how did that go during the week? And you never naturally phone someone up to have those conversations, do you? You don't actually go to the effort. You don't set up a Zoom just to have a three-sentence conversation with someone or phone them. But you have them really naturally in person. So miss those. I suppose I just really take to you talking about going through your phone and just saying, I'm just positively going to connect and have that phone call.
Have you noticed, sorry, this is a wee side, but The Office US, you know that sitcom?
Yes, I do.
It became the most watched show in the world during the pandemic.
That's largely my son. He's watched every episode, I think, in the last 9 months.
But, you know, interestingly, it is all about the in-between. So you never see them working and you never see them at home. And it's an entire sitcom about the moments in between. You're doing one bit of work and the next work. Even episodes that are about, like, the staff team building day. All the action happens on the bus on the way there. The whole sitcom. And I think we're fascinated. You know, obviously people are fascinated by that. Or that's where most of life happens, maybe.
Yeah. I have to say, in day-to-day life of missing that as well, as a mom and going to maybe, you know, be at school and talking to the other parents there, or... we would have helped to run the tots group at our church, you know, and just having those interactions, which we can't have at this time. And at times at the moment, feeling a bit overwhelmed, because when you've got the kids, the young kids there, your own kids there to look after and everything else going on, it can be hard to find those moments then to pick up the phone or just know how can you help when you can't take all the kids with you, you know, to maybe stand on the doorstep at someone's house, or, you know, in the same way you're wanted to be responsible in what you do. So I have struggled with that over these last number of months of just knowing, you know, Lord, how can I, you know, make those connections? But it has been helpful for me thinking about, I remember reading something in a book, I think it was Experiencing God, and it just says, just the prayer of, you know, Lord, you're always working. Just show me where you're working in this day and help me to join you in that. And just being mindful that he, you know, he is working out, you know, his purposes in people's lives, and just offering myself up, Lord, whenever I just come across someone, whatever I'm doing, it just feels so busy at times with the kids and whatever else is going on. But just to help me, like you were saying, Andy, to take those intentional moments when I can, and just show me where I can take those, because it can be overwhelming at times when you're dealing with your own home and family just day to day as well with the homeschooling and because my kids would be quite young. So it's finding those moments, as you say, to make those connections that would have happened naturally in other circumstances.
I think, John, you were talking about doorstep conversations there, and, you know, pulling your kids out to have a chat on the doorstep. And I think once or twice I have done that. Our poor youngest son has probably stood there for all right, Dad, you're chatting away to someone again. But yeah, I think that's just, I suppose that's another way. You know, at the start of lockdown, we're all going out for walks all the time, weren't we? And now we're doing that again. And I suppose in my ministry context, a number of people live not far from where I am. So that's been a good thing. It's now you realise how precious it is just to talk to someone on the doorstep. don't you, actually make that connection. So we've done that a bit. We've gone out for walks, and Ruth and I've just said, well, just kind of ring on this bell, and a lady comes to the door, and actually it's really precious for them that someone calls. It's precious for us that you have a really encouraging conversation.
I mean, there's a thread there in all that you're saying, because what I'm hearing is the things that we would have taken for granted, the in-between moments, the conversations that just naturally happen, they've been removed from our lives. So actually we need to be intentional about stepping into those, whether it's picking up a phone, ringing, you know, knocking a door, even what you're saying, Joanne, as well, about pausing and inviting God into the moment that we're facing as well. There's an intentionality about that. I mean, to continue that theme for a moment, you're each interacting with a whole variety of people. I'm interested maybe in the, I guess, as you encounter people who are struggling, what postures or practices do you think might be helpful for people, for us all, for those who are listening, to adopt and to press into at this time?
For me, where I can, it's just, it has to be pressing into God. You know, I just, it's certainly been a thing on my heart for so long in life in general, in ministry, but you're just so aware of your need for the Lord to hear what he has for people, to hear what he wants you to say into the moments, because again, for so many, it does, if you were to think it all out, it can seem so overwhelming. So for me, just to take what moments I can, for me, start of the day is the best before anybody else gets up, and just taking that time to wait on God and rest in his presence and read his word. Doesn't always happen, but when I can, I'm just thankful for that bit of time to press in and hear from him, because just so aware of my need and so aware that he's able to make it possible.
Yeah. So I think probably along a similar line, although I probably just feel convicted of being a bit more prayerless when you talk about that, Joanne, but I heard this great line near the start of lockdown, and it's stuck with me ever since. And it continues to be a kind of challenging discipleship line, but also kind of posture, if you like, line of strategic line, which is don't just do something, sit there. And I found that, I suppose, partly at the start of lockdown, when we're all sitting as churches or ministers or in different situations, thinking, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And think, actually, don't just do loads of stuff necessarily. It's really important to do things, isn't it? But don't just do something, sit there, both in that terms of praying, while here you're given some time and opportunity, and that's your challenge to pray. And now we're realizing that actually it wasn't our busy lives before that really stopped us from praying. It was just us who stopped us from praying. But so now you've got all the time. Are you going to pray? But also just thinking, what is that posture for life? What are we going to do? And actually, we need to spend some time thinking about what is important. And actually, if it's the in-between conversations, how are we going to leave other things aside that we could do and say, how are we going to make those connections? So I guess another kind of mantra I've come with that is, don't try and overachieve. I've just been trying to tell myself and hearing the things we do at church, what are the really important things we need to be doing? And if that's a kind of our discipleship, our worship stuff, our youth and children stuff, what core things do we do? And how do we need to connect? And after that, you know, don't try and overachieve. Don't just do something, sit there and pray and reflect on that.
There's something that goes against the grain there as well in that little statement, and something countercultural in it too. Andy, do you want to come in on that?
Family has become the bedrock of society again. Mm. And of course, we have the theology to back that up, but I think it's been demonstrated to society that family is what holds us together. We might, family is what is most important, might be said by society. But that does make me think as a father. And so I want to be aware that there is a lot less disciple makers in my children's lives. Mm. And so there's an awareness that I need to catch there. Myself and my wife Debbie are the only disciple makers that are spending considerable time with my children. And I also don't have the ability to bounce off what other people are saying, or whatever might be happening. And so that's key. I think there's an awareness. And then there's a lot of fun you can have, you know. Sorry for the alliteration, it just came into my head and I can't help it. But we have an awareness and then we've got activities. So I think there is lots of fun activities you can do as a family. And for us, we keep the TV off and then at 4 o'clock it comes on and then they're glued to the screen for, you know, half an hour. And in that time, there's this kind of moment where Debbie and I are alone because our four children are watching TV. And that's the moment where we can come up with a few ideas. You know, what could we do with them tomorrow or whatever? And there's a wee bit of maybe prep time or something in order to create an activity that could be useful for them in their discipleship. And we're not talking rocket science here. You know, we're just talking planting daffodils and things like that, you know, but things that we can somehow or work out how we can link what we're doing to a faith lesson in some way.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, we're beginning then to move on. These are some things that we can adopt ourselves. So, you know, what things do you think we can be all doing to support one another at this time? So Joanna, particularly interested in how we could be supporting people who are going through pain or grief or loss or illness at this time. This is something that you are faced with on a regular basis. Is there things that you could help us with that we can all be, you know, involved in people's lives to be supportive and helpful at this time?
I guess the big one that we probably all know is about being present with people, and that is a difficult one at the minute because we're not able to be maybe physically present in the way that we would have and would normally be with folks. But we can be present over the phone or over Zoom, and just being there to listen. If I, you know, thinking from just the ministry that I've been given in hospital, that where you think it is just a privilege to be able to be present with people and to listen. For me in the hospital, where it is a busy place and it's very, you know, just lots going on all the time. And there are many people there working in different roles that would love to have more time to just be present with the person on a level to listen and listen to their story. But they don't have that same opportunity because of their clinical work. I count it a real privilege to be able to be present with people and just that my role is to be there for them and just to listen to whatever they would like to share. But I think that's something that all of us can do, and you know, when we feel God leading us to, for anyone that God brings across our path or is in our circle or our community that we come across. And I know many people struggle, those of faith, those who do not have faith, but you know, just struggling with questions. And I guess when I meet people in hospital, my big go-to for those certainly that of faith background would be in the Psalms, where you see that you can come to a God who gives you permission to just say exactly how you're feeling, exactly what you're going through, and to voice those doubts or any disappointment or even anger, just whatever. That for me is a big part of what I share with people, that whilst that we don't have many easy answers or any answers at all at times in the midst of their circumstances or pain, we come to a God who is full of compassion and full of love, and who is the Father who wants to hear from us whatever we're going through and however we're feeling. And I find that from the Psalms, that he's put those there, just often say, you know, he's put the Psalms in his word. He's allowed those to be present where people are saying, where are you, Lord? What's going on? You know, I don't even feel you at this time. You know, he's put those there to give us, I see, permission to come to him with those very thoughts, with those struggles. And so that would be my first place of encouraging people that they can do that. And this is, you know, the Lord has opened that way for relationship with him, so we can so we can come to him. And in the Psalms, we just see that he doesn't leave us in that place of disappointment, but he encourages us to look at how we can remember what he has done, remember who he is, bring community around us to remember how we can praise him. And from that point, you know, receive and gain strength in our circumstances. So that is really what I often draw from when sharing or just being with people within the hospital, or indeed who I come across just in life or at the school gates or wherever, that we have a God that we can come to, and a God who is more than able then to help us.
But Ben, I'm wondering, to pick up that thread, you know, if there's things that you as a minister, you know, maybe look towards your congregation or people in the church and think, what are ways, what are things that we can all be doing to support one another in church life at this time? So I know a lot of people say the church should be doing, and often by that they mean really the leaders of the church or maybe the minister should be doing this. But what are things that you would love to see or think that we can all be doing as the church at this time?
So, yeah, John just kind of spells out a beautiful approach to speaking with each other, which is what chaplains do, is what ministers do, is what youth workers do, but it's actually what any of us can do, isn't it? And just say, let me sit with you, let me pray with you, let me go for a walk with you. And actually, I gather quite a lot of, you know, as I said earlier, we're all out for our walks, but actually some of that, going out for walks with people and just being able to talk, to chat about anything but about profound faith matters too is really, yeah, something I'd kind of love to encourage people to keep on doing as far as we can do that. I suppose one of the things we try to do is encourage people to use, you know, we talk about these phones and devices, and one way they've been a real plague, aren't they? And as far as we consume from screens, you know, they're a real plague, but they are a real gift in terms of communication and in terms of people just texting each other, people just phoning each other, people just saying, listen, I just want to know how you're doing. It doesn't have to be an overwhelming conversation. So, yeah, encouraging, I think, people to do that very, very simply. As you say, you know, you talk about the church, and that's quite often might be assumed to be a particular person or two or three leaders. But I do want to encourage people just to think, no, this is, and when someone does that for you, that is the church. That is the church. You know, so don't say the church didn't do anything. No, someone from church phoned you and you spoke to them, and that's us looking out for one another. We're trying this one other thing as well just at the moment, and so who knows how it'll go, but we're starting a series in Mark's Gospel this month or the coming months, and I've just tried to encourage everyone to be reading Mark's Gospel a little bit over time. So I set out a 30-day reading plan, and if we're all reading it together, there's a sense, okay, yeah, I'm doing it at home, and people are recording bits and we're trying to put those online so we can listen to each other. But even the basic idea that during sort of 4 or 5 weeks of lockdown during January, which, you know, is starting to deliver all the dullness and fear it promised, you know, actually that we're all a little bit together doing the same thing, being shaped by the same story, which isn't the story we hear on the news, but it's the story we hear about Jesus Christ. So doing projects together in whatever way is just small groups, big groups, things to be really encouraged.
That's good. Yeah. I think on those projects, don't be scared to ask for commitment. You know, if you're listening to this and you're a leader of any sort, don't be scared to ask for that commitment. Don't be scared to say, I'm going to do something 6 weeks in a row and I want you there all six times. Okay. That's what it is. Either do it or don't do it. But, you know, don't be scared for that. And then, as individuals, a title that I don't want for 2021 is I didn't try, so I didn't fail. You know, allow yourself to dream, allow yourself to try something, and if it doesn't work, whatever, you know. And, you know, the truth is, I don't have to watch Netflix tonight. I can write a letter, or I can make some jam and give it to my neighbor, or, you know, there's so much I can do. And each day does not have to feel like it's the same. Although in saying that, routine is the key to good parenting. Mm. So, but if you do have kids, bring like a night, you know, into your family life where it's like daddy decides night, or it's you know, something surprising each week. Or another good idea is giving night, so, or giving afternoon if you're homeschooling, where as a family you get together and you think, what can we give someone in our community? Maybe it is a pot of jam, or for, I've got young kids, so for them it's usually colouring in a picture and then we post it to someone. But involving your whole family in that kind of sense of community, of dreaming, of trying to remember who all your loved ones are.
One extra thing I would love to add, Rick, would just be to encourage those that are working in the hospitals at this time. Folks working in many different areas, obviously clinical and nursing, those in domestic and support services, portering services, administration. Really, they, as we think of those that are living with it, they are living with it on a daily basis as they go into work. And from talking with folks in the corridors, on the wards, it is clear that certainly this pandemic has brought increasing pressures and strain just in the way that they work in their day. And so all support and encouragement, prayerful support, practical support, whatever way you think is appropriate for those you know, I would just really love us to see where we can do that and encourage us to do that. That would be great. The work that they are doing is tremendous. Absolutely. So just want to thank them at this time.
Thanks. You've all given us just so much there of things that we can be doing, and it is easy in January right now, faced with the restrictions that we have, to think, oh, there's so much that we can't do. But actually you've reframed our thoughts there, each of you, and given us some things. So to finish, we ask each contributor to share a portion of scripture that is particularly important to them at this time. Joanna, I wonder, would you go first on that?
Sure. Kind of off the back of what I was saying earlier, I'm coming to the Psalms, and it's probably a scripture that I go to very often, probably even before this time of the pandemic, but it's in Psalm 62 and it's verses 5-8. The psalmist writes, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." And for me, just the key phrase is the pour out your hearts to him, that we have a relationship, or we can have a relationship with the living God, to whom we can pour out our hearts in the midst of things that can just seem so beyond what we can fathom or work out in these days and what is happening on a global level, but also what's happening in people's individual lives. But we have a God whom we can all come to and just tell him what we're going through, and know that he's a God that will respond and who will act in love and power.
Yeah. I'm going to give a wee reading from the Message paraphrase of the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. And it says this: "We teach in a spirit of profound common sense, so that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. That's what I'm working so hard at day after day, year after year, doing my best with the energy God so graciously gives me." I just love the thought of a profound common sense in this day, and helping people to be mature, and bringing ourselves up in a sense of maturity, which is actually doing the basic things well. So doing church well, engaging with scriptures well, doing family well.
Yeah, I've just gone for a verse that I've found myself ending a lot of services with over the past number of months, and coming back to, and the verse I used to end the last service we did on of last year, because it felt like this had become a verse of the year. I wrote it in letters out to the congregation, and it's simply this, and you'll know it, but it's Romans 15:13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So not only that actually hope and peace and joy come from God and from God alone as we trust in him, but actually that sense that they overflow. So we can, even in the feeling of emptiness, actually be overflowers of the joy and the hope and the love of God in us and from us to others. And maybe picking up on what Andy said, there's no reason why you can't do this tonight rather than watch Netflix. There's no reason why actually, even in the global pandemic, we can't be overflowers of the hope and the joy and the peace that comes from the Spirit.
Thanks for leading us there and bringing us to a really hopeful place, actually, as we began the episode by thinking of the challenges of the current circumstances that we find ourselves in. Actually, you've led us through that journey and you've told us and helped us with some things that we can all be doing right now. But you've also reminded us and fixed our eyes on Jesus too. So thanks to each of you for contributing and for what you've shared today. I really appreciate it. Before we finish today, let me also just draw your attention to some opportunities and resources that you might find useful at this time. Firstly, there are a whole host of webinars and digital conversations coming up over the next few weeks related to a vast array, really, of aspects of congregational life and witness. So do check out the events page on the PCI website for more details of those. And secondly, there are a couple of new resources that are being released this month to help congregations at this time. The first of those is called Whole and is a set of 6 short sessions designed for digital small groups. So if that's something that you're doing in your congregation or leading a group or whatever, those might be useful. They're focused on living well as God's people at this time. Short biblical reflections, some questions to discuss together. And they're downloadable from the PCI website if you go to presbyterianireland.org/whole. And Whole is WHOLE. There's also another resource called For Now being released to congregations soon in the form of a short booklet, a physical booklet designed for every member of our church. So look out for that and resources around that coming soon. In the meantime, to draw our episode to a close today, I want to finish with a prayer for disruption. Let's pray. God, in this time, we turn again to you, for we have nowhere else to turn. We put our faith in you because you've proved your faithfulness time and again. We reaffirm our love for you because you've never let us go. We thank you that you're not distant from us, but have drawn near in your Son. You've shared our life, tasted our death and defeated it. You understand our worries and our fears. Help us to respond as you want us. We pray for the disruption we feel in our normal life, bringing new fears and anxieties. We pray for those who have been laid off as their work disappears. We pray for those who have suffered loss in the year that's been. Help us find new ways of living through this time, not forgetting you, but drawing strength from you. May our experience of your presence be real, our worship be heartfelt, and our prayer be fervent. Let our discipleship be faithful, our fellowship deepen, and our service increase. Strengthen us by your Spirit so that we endure disruption and grow through discomfort. Would suffering strengthen our faith and deepen our reliance on you so that we can see Jesus in every situation. And may we carry our faith in a way that looks out for others, shows love in action, and brings encouragement, hope, and peace. Always trusting in you, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.